Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning you may want to keep in front of you the little printout of the second lesson, the buff-colored insert sheet, because I'll be talking no small amount about what St. Paul says here. I would like to show you how he has woven something together for us and woven us into it, that the Lord is doing that to us constantly. For the sake of our focus, I want to bring you back to this language that's in there, and I'm going to read it from the Revised Standard Version. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. That's our text. In Christ Jesus, my loved Christian friends, this morning's sermon begins at the end of last Sunday's Bible class. We were speaking at some length at the end of a several-week experience as we examined the letter to the Ephesians. What is the Christian church? And how is the Christian church here in this congregation? How is the Christian church in our homes? How is the Christian church as I live out my everyday, whether it's on the farm or in the place of business or in the experience of my retirement, the nursing home, whatever experience? At the end of last Sunday's Bible class, I had taken some effort to show how we like to have a nice, clean definition. Most all of us deal a lot better with that, where things are clearly lined out. This is what it is, and this is what it's not. In point of fact, as we experience life, it's really messy. And the concession to nice, neat definitions, although it makes our everyday easier, is not really what the Lord has afoot, because it's extremely dynamic, as the last verses of today's selected lesson make clear. We do not merely believe about the Holy Trinity, and that's not what you and I confessed just a few moments ago when we used the language of the Nicene Creed. We say, I believe into God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Trinity is this living, powerful dynamic of this God who sweeps us up together. We who are frightened and alone and afraid and living with our own distances and burdens and hurts and hopes, He is constantly among us. So when at the end of Bible class I had pointed out how we like to have nice, neat definitions and where that comes from, one of the men finally said, so what's your point? The point is that we are caught up into this dynamic that is the church. We do not have some ideal model that is out there defined in some kind of way that says, when we get there, then we'll be the church. No. It's a present reality. And God, in His mercy and love, catches us all up in our everydays in the little and the large ways. And He says, these are my people. He does not say, these will be my people when they finally think the right way. These will be my people when they finally behave the right way. No, in love and in mercy, He embraces us, and then He uses all of the stuff of our everydays, like the death of a husband, the death of a father, the burdens of our lives when people's lives go to pieces, when we face our surgeries and our injuries, when we celebrate the joys of the weddings of we're in, or our children or our grandchildren. I'm keenly aware of this week as I've been driving several times up and down highway back and forth to Lincoln, and I go past what has been an important part of the life of this community and the lives of many of you, that factory that's now being torn down. then also is part of the whole experience of who and what you are. Many of you, your lives were spent there. And you're grieving that change. What now? That's the church. It is the mercy and the love of God gathering us together when we fall flat on our faces and when we do remarkable things. It's not because of one or the other. It's all because of the grace of God. I experienced this intensely personally this week among you. And I really want to pay tribute to two of my brothers in Christ who will remain absolutely nameless. But when I tell these little stories, they will remember and they will know. Because the text says when you and I live in the church, God the Holy Spirit has already bonded us and bound us together in Christ. We can't dismiss that. Your baptisms have taken place. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You and I are part of it. We do not revoke your baptismal certificates or take your license away as if somehow you aren't part of the church. No, the Lord said that. And then we live in the messiness of the everyday. We seek to do that with lowliness and meekness and patience and putting up with one another in love, eager to maintain the bond of the Spirit that the Spirit has already given. This week at one of our gatherings, I was trying to be inclusive and caring, and I called an individual in our gathering by what my hearing aids told me was the name, and I had it wrong. And then I was alluding to that factory and the grieving that the community is going, and I called it by the wrong name. And in a spirit of absolute gentleness and care, one of our brothers in Christ, after it was said and done, came over and said, Pastor, that person's name is this, and this is the name of that store, that factory. In a spirit of gentleness and love, he swept away my embarrassment and said, you'll get there. And then I was honored later this week by one of the men, one of our brothers in Christ, who needed to pull me aside and say, Pastor, one time recently, you and I were talking about something that was really on my mind, and then somebody else came by, and you got diverted, and I wasn't done talking, and that hurt me. I'm here to tell you, folks, I was embarrassed that I hurt our brother, because I don't believe in disposable people. And neither does the Lord. And that's the way I ended up treating him. And it came because of my anxieties or my pride or my whatever, I don't know. But that's not what it's about. We like to be able to believe that we have arrived at this nice, clean picture of how we ought to be. And we would like to content ourselves that I've gotten there, and they haven't. If they would just straighten up, everything would be fine. We're all in process. We are all in process. And everything we share in our homes, our congregations, our places of employ, our every day and our every night, is a piece of the hand of the Lord shaping us and weaving us together. Go back to that text. Pull it out and look at it. St. Paul in verse 3 says, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You and I do not create that. It's already there. The Lord affirmed it again just a while ago. I, as a called and ordained servant of Christ Jesus, forgive you all your sins. You know what that means? All of the petty things that divide us from the Lord and from one another. are swept aside. And should you and I hold on to those, what we've really said is God didn't forgive us. And God didn't forgive my sister or brother either. Yes, he did. That's why we use that language as a called servant. Because really what a pastor's role when he says those words is to be the voice of the Lord. And it's not merely like a judge on a bench saying guilty or not guilty. No, it's the continually affirming voice of God that constantly is speaking to us and including us in this one body that ties us together, reaffirms again what you and I, through our silliness and through our pride and through our anger and our control, will just turn into this shattered thing. And the Lord says, come back here, all of you, together. All we can do is try to reflect that, to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The bond of peace does not mean that we don't have disagreements. If we didn't have disagreements, one of us would be unnecessary. The Lord has touched each of us uniquely where we're at. Our sensitivities, our awarenesses, our gifts and abilities. And so we draw together and in some sense of humility listen to one another. Because that's the voice of the Lord binding us together. That's what Paul says later in Ephesians 4. The body upbuilds itself in love. This is not just unidirectional, do what I say. Instead, it's organic. And so we flow together. It's like when I go dancing with my wife, I will lean over her to her at some point and say, dear, you're trying to lead again. She says, it's because you need new batteries and you can't hear the beat of the music. We upbuild one another in love. And there is a flow and a sequence and a harmony because that's the way it is in the Holy Trinity. That's what it has to do with the church. It's right there in the text. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there is one body. It doesn't say there could be, there might be, there will be, there ought to be. If you just straighten out and do it the way somebody tells you, there is one body, and the Lord said that. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called, that's your summons to faith, to one hope. That's where we all seek to be. That's reaching for the future that's already interrupted our lives in the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth from among the dead. Your hope is a present reality. Easter has happened. It belongs to your call. It comes out of one Lord. That's the Savior. One faith. One absolute despair that you and I can create all of this either by our best intentions or all of our correct thinking or anything else. One faith, one baptism. That's what you've all shared. Even though we do it one at a time, you're all bound together. And there's one God and Father of us all who is above all, through all. And like a seminary classmate of mine from Arkansas used to say, and in you all. There is this unity of God and yet this distinctiveness in which there is flow and harmony and gifting and loving, and that's what our God catches us up in. That's what he seeks to catch the whole human race up. That's what he seeks to catch up the everydayness of this congregation and of this congregation in all of its individual families, because those also are the church. There is a unity and a flow and a harmony and a gifting and a loving that this God, who is one and yet three, seeks to catch us all up in our neighborhoods and across the fields to our neighbors. That's really what the word neighbor means, the farmer next door. There is a unity and a flow and a sequence and a harmony that this triune God grabs our hearts and grabs all of the multiplicity of our everydays, every day of it. The ones that pass that we've forgotten, the ones that are so memorable we can never forget them. There is a love and a mercy and a tenderness about this God that grabs hold of us when we're grieving and when we're celebrating. And it weaves that into it, and it weaves us into one another. That's why we sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Not because you and I are always so capable of being loving, but the love of God that pours into our hearts in Christ Jesus makes us patient with one another. The church consists of this living organism that is this film that keeps going on. The church is not just a frozen snapshot in which everybody has all of their faces scrubbed and their shoes polished and their robes on. It's very messy because it's real life people with real life faults and real life gifts, real life differences, and a real live loving God who catches us all up in it. And his love is bigger than any one of those little nuances that we bring to it. Because the everyday, the embarrassments, the misstatements, the irritations, the hurts, the distances, that's what our God overcomes. He does it a person at a time and a day at a time. That's how it happens. All we can do is live in the glory of it and seek to live it out. And be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts together and your minds together in faith and in life to life everlasting. Amen.